Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, it's that time again for Successipes. We've got your recipe for success in business and living, and I'm your host, Lori Wilk. We are live. It's great to have you with us. Our show today is very exciting. We have two guests that are going to be joining us today. We're going to have Joanne Goldsmith, who is a design branding expert with 30 years of experience in her field, from Madison Avenue to Florida, working with everything from the big brands to the entrepreneurs. Super excited to have Joanne Goldsmith will be joining us. And we're also going to be having an author of a brand new book. I'm going to keep that surprise for a moment. So I'm going to welcome first to get started, Joanne. So welcome to the show, Joanne.
Good afternoon, and it is so wonderful to be there with you today.
Let's start with the topic of branding, of which you are the expert. Can you just give us some brief insight into what is the importance of branding?
The importance of branding begins with you. The minute you walk into the door, what you're wearing, the colors you've chosen, your attitude, your body language, it all communicates where you're at and what you're selling. You've got to be consistent in everything you do so that when you show up, you are your brand. Your product has to be consistent, that you're serving your customers, you're making a difference, something you really believe in, something you're following through in. And that's when the magic starts to happen. One of the biggest lessons that I learned on Madison Avenue is you have to find out what the problem is. You should never come out with a product that doesn't solve a problem. You got to start with the pain and then give them the solution. That is what it is all about. For example,
I love that. Yes.
For one of the best examples was stovetop stuffing. The biggest end benefit is that your family has to like what you put on the table. Now, of course, there are added benefits, that it's almost as good as homemade and that it takes a fraction of the time. But it all boils down to, are they going to eat it and love it? So when you actually have to do, when you're actually advertising it or promoting it, you have to show people eating it up. You have to show people using your product. You have to do it in such a way that it's speaks to your audience, that it magnetizes them, that it makes them want to go out and have to have your brand. Because otherwise, the alternative is you are lost in a sea of clutter. And when a person doesn't know you're there and your brand isn't standing out, they don't know to look for you or to buy you. And that means that your chances of being bought or found or making money or putting the money in your own pocket are cut down considerably. And if they're not putting money in your pocket, you haven't got a business.
That's awesome. And you're stating truths, and that's why your business is Authentic Branding with Heart. And, of course, they can find you authenticbrandingwithheart.com. Is you give people what is real and what is true, and you help people to find out presenting themselves in a way that they really connect with the right ideal target audience for them and for what they are about. And that's why I love having you on as an expert. I'm going to kind of ask you to take us behind the scenes a little bit to Madison Avenue. And I know when you did your work with stovetop stuffing for chicken, you learned a lot of really cool things and saw about a lot of really interesting things about how the advertising is created. So could you share with us some little inner secrets?
Well, what it really boils down to is, even though it looks like it was really easy to take a picture of a turkey and make it look appetizing, behind every single picture, especially at the point I was doing it, which was the old-fashioned way before they had computers and Photoshop and retouching, was that for every turkey you saw, there were five or six that got baked And there were three stylists from General Foods actually preparing the food and putting it on the platter and making sure that it was garnished correctly and putting it in front of the camera all before the skin of the turkey started to shrink. And the skin would actually,
wow,
as it cooled down, start shrinking. And that meant retouching. And that was a whole other world of airbrushing and dye transfers and choosing the right prints that had the right amount of cyan or yellow so that your turkey didn't look too green. Something had to speak to you, had to literally go there. And not only did you have your dye transfer, you had your printer who was making print separations. And everything could change on a plate in separations that could make it go wrong. I'll never forget the time I did a 24-page brochure for stovetop stuffing. What had happened was we were so successful in advertising stovetop stuffing for chicken that they came out with 24 recipes. And one of those recipes was stovetop stuffing with pineapple. And unbelievably, when it went to press, that particular page turned out blue. Blue. And the stovetop looked green with really greenish pineapple. And thank God for the technology and for knowing enough to make a difference. We simply had the printer pull out all of the blue. So there was no blue anywhere in that ad to make it go so that it could still have the integrity and the taste, the mouth-watering taste and the wanting of eating it. So with everything you do, there's always a hidden something and a hidden surprise. It's never the same. It's a field that will always keep you on your toes.
So take us to another one of your favorite brands, Duncan Hines Cookies, and tell us a little bit about what it was like to work with chocolate chips.
Oh, well, anybody who knows me knows that I'm addicted to chocolate chip cookies. They are my passion. I love them. Oh, my goodness. And what was a challenge about doing Duncan Hines Cookie Mix is they almost tasted like homemade because you actually added an egg and you added the milk. So as a baker, I felt like I made a difference because I actually beat it up and made it smooth and tabled it out by the spoonful on the cookie sheet. And then I got to have it hot and cooled and with chips and without chips. And a little lighter and a little moister. I mean, oh my goodness, I had more excuses on how to eat the cookies. It's amazing that any of the cookies actually made it to a photograph because I was like, oh, it's not perfect enough. Oh, it doesn't have enough bumps on it. Oh, it's too brown. And so I had to eat the evidence. But it was something that I believed in fiercely. Everybody loves chocolate chip cookies. So what got to be the gift on that was that the end benefit was it was better than store-bought cookies. That was the written thing. Now, it doesn't sound very tasteful, does it? However, the second takeaway that had to be done was your family's going to love it. And if you ever watched any of the commercials, even the print ads that I did, it was a kid with the chocolate chip cookie all over his mouth. You know how you eat a cookie and you get the smear of the chocolate on your lips? Well, this kid had
Absolutely.
It on his cheek. And so people got that it was the taste. And because this kid was happy, the mom was a good mom. And because she was a good mom, she'd done something right and she was being appreciated. And that was the end benefit.
Quiet. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. That is so awesome. And for those of you just tuning in, you're listening to Success at Bees. I'm here with Joanne Goldsmith. She is a Madison Avenue design branding expert. And we're getting some of the secrets of what it was like to work in design branding on Madison Avenue. Sometimes people, Joanne, say that it's expensive to create a brand. What is your take on that?
Well, I have news for you. It is really expensive when you don't, because you can spend $500 here or $100 there and get a bargain and do your brand three or four times. But basically what you've done is you have now diluted the pool of competition, and somebody looking at your old logo and the medium logo and what's now and your competition doesn't know that they need you, because you only have one opportunity to make a difference. And therefore, you need to be consistent in your brand. You have a problem. I fix that problem because I deliver results. And that has to happen not only with the visuals, not only with your name of your company, but really importantly, with your positioning line. Your tagline has to literally, in four or five words, give it to me straight. Why are you better than your competition, and what's in it for me? You have
that is awesome.
Three, sometimes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you have three, sometimes 7 seconds to capture your audience. And when you don't, they've changed the channel. They've gone to someone else. They're no longer with you.
How true is that? Joanne Goldsmith, Authentic Branding with Heart, super having you with us right here on Successapes. We can follow you on Twitter, Design a Branding Expert. We can follow you on places like LinkedIn, and AuthenticBrandingWithHeart.com is your website. We've had an amazing week here. For those of you who have been tuning in and following us over the last seven days, we have been interviewing folks from the brand new digital broadcasting network, WeBocaTV.com, and their signature program, Good Morning Boca. Today was the launch of their program, Behind the Gates, featuring the luxury real estate in places like Boca Raton and Delray Beach, Florida, Behind the Gates with real estate firm Douglas Elliman. So for those of you, of course, looking for something special, looking for your property, that is the place to be. Coming up next, Joanne, we're going to welcome a very special guest, the author of a brand new book. We're going to have on our program Dr. Betty Uribe, and her book is called Values, the Secret to Top-Level Performance in Business and Life. So I am going to now welcome to the show Dr. Uribe. Dr. Uribe, welcome to Successapes.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
You are so amazing. For our listeners just tuning in, your background is so impressive. You as an international bilingual and multicultural speaker and author, you are an expert in value-based leadership. And so I'm very honored to have you on the program. As I shared with our listeners on our show page, your work in Southern California, California Bank and Trust as their executive vice president. You're involved in an organization that is responsible for billions of dollars of business. And under your leadership, your CB&T being named best bank in Orange County. So thank you so much for being here on Successapes. Share with me, you've got a brand new book out. What inspired you to write your book?
Oh, my goodness. So the name of the book is Hashtag Values, the Secret to Top-Level Performance in Business and Life. And so if you think about back in 2007 when the economy started going down, leaders were falling. They were falling from the sky, it seemed like. There were different leaders from sports, from media, from education, government, and even clergy. And the common thread was the decisions they were making were not aligned with our values. So I went out and did my dissertation on values, interviewed some leaders, and I wanted to find some role models that our children could grow up with as role models that would stand the test of time. And I found some leaders in the White House and the Pentagon and leaders all around. And I went to the highest levels of leadership because those are the ones that create value and permeate values right through their organization. And so the inspiration was I wanted to raise up leaders who are already amongst our midst as role models for generations to come.
I love that. So I know in your saying that you interviewed so many of these great leaders and you heard more about their stories and their backgrounds. Did you want to share with us any one special story that stands out?
There's one story that comes to mind, and this is General Mick Kicklighter. He was a four-star general in the U.S. Army in charge of the U.S. Army from the west of the United States to the east of China during the Saddam Hussein days. He was in charge of going to the country after Saddam Hussein was taken back, and to bring peace and to bring the first U.S. embassy. And he was telling me, as he was telling me the story, his wife Betty was sitting there, and they were saying, well, you know, in any one weekend you would find him in a synagogue, in a church, in a temple. And I asked them, why would he go to a temple on a weekend instead of spending the quality time with his family or with his wife? He said, because that's where my troops needed me. My troops needed me right there where they were. That's one pretty impactful story for me, because if you think about a general of the army that has been sent by the President of the United States to bring peace, you don't think of someone being so accessible to their troops. And there are a lot of writers about leadership, and one of the things that I have found, even in my dissertation and in my studies, in my own personal experience, you've got to get to know your people, and your people have to get to know you on a personal level in order for you to be able to impact, to create trust in them to impact change. So
big word,
this,
trust.
This, yes. Trust is a big word. If you talk to Stephen Covey, he actually endorsed my book. He wrote a book on trust. It's called The Speed of Trust. And when Steve and I were talking about his book and my book and how they actually work together, if you think about trust, trust is the foundation of relationship. Well, you can't create trust if you are not aligned with your values, if you're not a person of integrity with your values. So integrity and values are the foundation for creating trust, which is the foundation for creating movement in whatever area you are, whether it's in your family life, in your business life, with your community, with your government, with your countries, with your university, whatever.
So true. Now, your background for our listeners, you come from very humble beginnings. Are you willing to share a little bit about your background and where you got, you know, who you attribute your personal values and character, please?
Absolutely. I was born and raised in Bogota, Colombia, and I came to the United States at the age of 12. My father was very successful. He was actually, I came here to be poor, which is kind of different. My dad was a millionaire. He did really well, but he used to drink too much, and he used to come home, and I saw things that a child really shouldn't be seeing about their mother being mistreated by their own father. And so one day my mother sat us down and said, you know, I'm leaving. I'm going to the United States. You can stay here and you'll never need anything, or you can go to the United States and you'll have peace. That was my very first decision, values-based decision I made. So in a 24-hour period in an airplane ride, we became poor. We came to the United States. I was 12 years old. My little brother was 6, Carlos. And then my older brother was Fernando. He was 19. And then my second brother was Ricky. He was 2 years older than me. I cleaned houses. I babysat to help my mom. My mother became a worker in a factory where she sewed jeans. She got paid 25 cents for every pair of jeans. And I remember seeing my mother she in a sweatshop, literally in a sweatshop. She would get up at 3 in the morning and she would go. So imagine being a lady of society at the age of 45 and all of a sudden taking an airplane ride and working in a factory in a sweatshop so that you could feed your children.
And the value, it was, that speaks amazing. Oh, I can't even believe that. Wow. Whew.
Well, yeah, if I can grow to be 1/10 of what my mother was, I will have been a great woman. I think she knew what was important, and she embedded that not through her words, but really through her actions. So that was really important to her. So that's
how did
much
your brothers
conduit.
Turn out?
Yeah, absolutely. My brother, Fernando, is an engineer, and actually I dedicate my book to my brother because he actually quit his job. He had an engineering job up in Northern California and came to Southern California to get an apartment so that I could have a place to live when I was going through a really bad divorce and all I had was just really the clothes on my back. And then he gave me my first $500 scholarship. He is he's retired now. He's got a terminal illness, and because he gave me my first $500 scholarship, I dedicated the book to him, and we're raising funds around the world for scholarships for kids because the education was really the differentiator in my life where I've been able to get to. And so that's where my oldest brother, my Ricky, owns an engineering and manufacturing company in the Silicon Valley, and he manufactures surgical components that go into the heart for the Silicon Valley and for Stanford Medical. And then my little brother owns a leadership transformational company called in Orange County, and he helps transform lives. And I'm an executive at California Bank and Trust, and an author and a speaker, and I do, and we're making a difference. All of us are very aligned with making an impact in the world. All of us are making a difference for people around us and in different countries around the world.
Unbelievable. And again, I'm so honored and impressed to have you on here on Success with Ease. If you're just tuning in, we are spending some time here talking about your latest book, which is about values. And I wanted you to just help me a little bit here and talk a little bit about leadership. And you talk about in your book that there's different styles of leadership, and maybe you would explain that to our audience.
Absolutely. In the book, I have a chapter where I take the reader through the history of leadership, and there are different styles. And so if you think about it, in three different prongs, and so I've divided them into three big buckets. The first one is situational leadership, and that started in the 1980s. It was very flexible leadership as opposed to the autocratic type of leadership. So in situational leadership, you behave as a leader differently depending on the situation. If it's an emergency situation, the leader might say, I'm going to make the final decision because it's the fastest way to make a decision. Or if it's a long-term decision, then you may collaborate with your employees and get the best decision made out there. The second part is transactional. And this is transactional leadership came about after situational leadership. And this is where you have management by objectives, MBOs, or yearly reviews. You do something so you get a reward. Basically, if you're in a sales environment, if you achieve your goals or exceed your goals, you're going to get a bonus. If you do X, Y, and Z, you're going to get promoted. And if I do this, then you're going to give me this. If I give you a raise, then you're going to produce more. So it's kind of transactional. It's almost like a business. Then there's transformational leadership, and this is where we find giving unconditionally. In the transformational leadership, you hear about leaders being inspiring and being someone that people aspire to follow. You hear about collaborative leadership, where it's been proven, there's studies that have been done that prove that collaborative leadership, decisions that are made in a collaborative way, are better quality decisions. These are the leaders that really listen. You hear about open door policy. And then you hear about servant leader, but not in a religious sense, but more in a giving sense, almost like I am being entrusted with this individual in their career, so I'm going to be of service to them. So that's more of the transformational leader. The leaders I interviewed that are highlighted in my book, most of them tend to be more toward the transformational leader perspective, even though I have generals from the White House and the Pentagon. I have CEOs and presidents from banks and financial services organizations and business CEOs. So one would think that once you get to that high of a level, that the leader wouldn't be so open to being inspiring and so forth. But quite the contrary, there are many, many leaders that are making a big impact and actually creating big sustainable results as a result.
Now, you're a big proponent of mentoring. Can you talk a little bit about the category of mentor and a little bit about the lives of those people that do get mentored, how that makes a difference?
I am reminded of Oliver Lopez. Oliver was someone I met at USC while I was teaching a class, and he was someone that was in need of mentoring, and I told him, come to my office, let me just mentor you. And this was a couple of years ago. He needed a job because he was getting a PhD in biostatistics at USC, but he needed to get a job. When I looked at his bio, more of his bio was pages and pages of him mentoring people and helping the community than it was what he was about. And so somebody like that, I just really wanted to take on. And just by giving him some advice and really putting my name on the line for him, there are mentors and then there are champions. So if you think about mentors and champions, it's two different things. With Oliver, I was a mentor. I helped him with getting through his career, getting out of, you know, the doctorate. I opened doors for him. And then I was also a champion. When I opened the doors, I said, you know, I want you to talk to Oliver. Oliver is an extension. He has the same values that I do. And I would put my reputation on the line for him. That is a champion. Today, Oliver is a professor at Chapman University, newly married to his beautiful wife, Lucy, and is making a difference in the world, a huge impact. So I think as leaders, we not only have to look to mentor people, to mentor the right people, but also we need to look to be mentored by people. I have mentors from the Pentagon. I have mentors from the White House. I have mentors from banking, CEOs and chairmen of banks, financial institutions. I have mentors in every area of my life for spirituality, for sports, for how to be a better mother, for how to be a better leader, for my health, for even for travel. And then a champion you also need to be and also to have always throughout your career. And it's somebody that will put their reputation on the line for you. Tomorrow I'm going to be flying to D.C. and I'm unveiling my book at one of the inaugurational galas. And then I'm watching the inauguration from the press club, and I'm doing a book signing from the press club. The people that actually got me there, they were champions. They put their reputation on the line so that I could do that. I fly to the Vatican the following week to give a thank you to the Monsignor Giacomo Pappalardo, who wrote a page and a half endorsement and a recommendation for my book that's written in the front of the book. That the Monsignor put his reputation on the line by giving that endorsement of my book, that is a champion. Does that make sense?
I hate to come to the end of our program. You are amazing. And you know what's so awesome is I'm so honored that you came on Success of Bees and allowed me to share your interview and your audience with our listeners globally here around the world online, knowing that you're going to, you know, you'll be in Washington, D.C. and with all of these folks. So thank you for allowing me here at Success of Bees to have this time with you. And for those folks that are just tuning in, I have been here with Dr. Uribe. Her brand new book, which is just coming out tomorrow, is called #Values, The Secret to Top Level Performance in Business and Life. Please share with our listeners how they can get your book and how they can connect with you farther.
Absolutely, and thank you for that. They can get my book through my website, drbettyurebia.com. They can also go into Amazon, and if you will go into Amazon tomorrow, that would be fantastic, so we can make this book a bestseller when it comes out. They can go into Barnes & Noble, and then to connect with me, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all Dr. Betty Uribe. The best way to connect with me personally is probably either through my website or LinkedIn.
That's so awesome. And again, I hate to get to the end of the program. I want to thank again Joanne Goldsmith, Authentic Branding with Heart, and Dr. Betty Uribe for being with us today. All of my listeners, until we get together again, be successful and be safe. And to that, we say goodbye for now. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.